We started our service with some words from Isaiah 55. Let me read some more from later on in that chapter. We read this. As the rains and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Heavenly Father, we pray as we come to consider your word together just now, that your word would accomplish its purposes among us, that you would achieve what you desire for us as we look at this bit of the Bible together. Please might we hear your voice. Please might your word take root in our hearts and bud and flourish for our benefit and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you are here this morning in our church family because you have a unique contribution to make to our life together. Each one of you is gifted in your own special way to be a blessing to our community. I think I can even go so far as to say that you are a God-given gift to our church. Every one of you is a God-given gift to our church. That's the message of Romans 12, the bit of the Bible we're looking at today. You are all gifts to God's church. Now, as Katrin will tell you, I love to qualify everything, so let me do that now and say you're not the only gift. I guess that's obvious from us all being gifts. And neither are you the best gift, because that gift is Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, it is true to say that each one of you is a gift from God to our church. Now, why is that? Because you have each been given things by God with which to serve the church. So some will have been given the gift of being able to connect what the Bible says with the specifics of life. Some will have practical or administrative gifts that will just help us get things done. Others will be gifted to teach God's word to us and so build us up in our faith. Others will have the gift of encouragement. They're brilliant at noticing where people are at and helping them to keep trusting Jesus. Some will have been given means or maybe a vision for radical generosity such that they're able to financially support the church. Some will have leadership gifts to help us move forward in the things that God has given us to do. And others will have the gift and a heart and an eye for the marginalised and will seek to love and serve them. And that's just some of the ways God gifts his people to bless his church. There are many more I could mention. And that's what we're going to see in Romans 12. It tells us that each of us is gifted in a special way to be a blessing to our community. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. But because before we think about us, we need to think again about Jesus, God's greatest gift to the church. Because us using our gifts, us serving one another, can only be done in light of his serving us. You see, otherwise our hearts and our motivations, they end up in all sorts of bad places. But when we serve in this way, when we serve in light of him serving us, Paul says we bring pleasure to God. Have a look with me at verse 1 of Romans 12, where Paul says this: Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Paul says that our lives are to be lived in view of God's mercy. That is, that when we deserved judgment, we received salvation. Or to put it in the language of Mark 10 that we were looking at last week, before we can serve well, we need to remember that we have been served by Jesus. And indeed, if we're struggling in service, well, he is the one that we need to go to see and to experience afresh how he has served us, to see how through him God has shown us mercy. That's the foundation for everything else we're going to explore today. And so if you weren't able to be here with us last week, I'd encourage you to catch up. The sermon's on our website, and it'll help firm up your foundation for service. But for the rest of our time this morning, we're going to assume that foundation, that we're striving to serve in view of God's mercy, and we're going to build upon it. Okay, well, with that foundation, that truth firmly in mind, here's the next thing that Paul wants to tell us. He tells us we're all gifted. We're all gifted. Let me read verse 3 of Romans 12 again. Paul writes, "For by the grace given me, I say to each of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." And then beginning of verse 6, Paul says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Can you see in this section, Paul is at pains to make it clear he's speaking to all of us. What he has to say here is to every one of us, verse 3. The grace he's speaking of is given to each of us, verse 6. He says we've all been given gifts by God, that each one of us has a unique set of gifts, and indeed that we can discern what those gifts are. That discernment is what Paul's speaking of in verse 3 when he says that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but rather with sober judgment. It's not a call to self-loathing or on the one hand, or self-excusing on the other, but rather to accurate self-perception. Here's how the American pastor Tim Keller put it in his book Romans for You. He said, "We need to acknowledge what we're good at and what we can do. We are to think straight about ourselves, neither too low nor too high." And when we have this sort of accurate self-perception, we can discern the gifts God has given us, which Paul speaks of in slightly unusual terms at the end of verse 3 when he talks about the faith God has distributed to each of you. He's speaking about the gifts. Okay, Paul says, step back, where are we? Paul says we're all gifted, and that we can discern, we can work out the gifts that we've been given. Now, here's the thing. Often, when we're given a gift, it's for our benefit. So I'm not giving away any Lee family secrets when I tell you that this Christmas, Catherine will be getting some new slippers. Now, it's not the most exciting gift that she'll get this year, but it is one of the most needed, because here we go. As you look at her current pair and the state they're in, you're probably actually thinking that she needed some last Christmas. And to be honest, you're probably right. So sorry about that, Catherine. And when she pulls those slippers out from under the Christmas tree, they unmistakably will be for her. They're not for keeping anyone else's feet warm in the morning. If I find one of our girls wearing them, I'll politely tell them to find their own slippers and to give mummy's back to her. Because that gift is for Catherine and Catherine alone. Often when we're given gifts, they're for our benefit. But sometimes we're given gifts for the benefit of others. At the moment, I'm in the process of arranging a speaker for our church weekend away next March. And one of the things we do for our speakers is give them some gifts as a token of our appreciation. A couple of years ago, Simon Pedley came to teach us on the Lord's Prayer. And after he did that, we gave him a Deliveroo voucher. And that was partly as a thank you to him. But actually more so, it was a thank you to his family who'd given up Dad for a weekend so that he could come and join us, be with our church family. Now, in giving that gift to Simon, we wanted him to share it with his family, that they would benefit from that gift as well. Now, Simon's a really nice guy, so I'm sure he didn't do this, but it's possible that instead of sharing that gift with his family, he ate like a king at work at lunchtime for a week. He might have done that. But if he had, he would be not using the gift for the reason it was given. It wasn't given so that he could feast alone for a week at work. It was given for his family's sake. Do you see? Sometimes we're given gifts for our benefit, like the slippers, and sometimes we're given gifts for the benefit of others, like the delivery voucher. And that's the case with the gifts that God has given us. They're for the benefit of others. Let me read verse 4 of Romans 12 again. Paul says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." When my throat is dry, it's very glad that my hand belongs to the same body as it, so that my hand can serve my dry throat by lifting the glass of water to my lips and enabling me to take a drink. My hand, it's a gift to my throat because of its ability to lift the glass of water. And indeed, if it wasn't for my hand, drinking would be quite a bit harder and an awful lot messier. The hand, it belongs to the throat, and so it is with us. The gifts and abilities God has given each one of us are for the benefit of the rest of us. We belong to one another. Which brings me to the next thing that Paul wants us to know, because not only are we all gifted, but we're all needed. He continues, verse 6, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Paul says that just as we need each part of our bodies to play their parts, we need our mouths to speak and our eyes to see and our feet to walk. Well, so it is with the body of Christ. The prophets prophesy, the servants serve, the teachers teach, and so on. We all need each other. You see, we're united, we're one body, and yet we're diverse. We've been given different gifts to serve the whole. It's a beautiful truth, a beautiful picture of the church. But it's also a picture of truth that we can get in a bit of a muddle with. And here's two ways that we can get confused. I guess the first one is that we can think that our gifts are for our benefit, like if Simon had just enjoyed that delivery voucher to have a week of great lunches at work. And when we think that our gifts are just for our benefit, we use them in ways that they were intended to be used. They're not used for their intended purposes. Alternatively, we can think that our gifts are not valuable enough to be needed. And well, when we do that, it also means they're not used for their intended purposes. Some will have no doubt heard the account of the first time that President John F. Kennedy went to visit NASA in 1962. He was walking along one of the corridors at NASA and he stopped to have a conversation with one of the janitors, and he asked this janitor what he was doing. And here's the janitor's reply. He said, "I'm helping to put a man on the moon. I'm helping to put a man on the moon." Now, all around this janitor, thousands of scientists and engineers were literally doing rocket science. And compared to all that was going on, the janitor, I suppose, could have thought that his contribution was menial or insignificant. But he knew the importance of his role. He knew that he was helping to put a man on the moon. And that if he didn't turn up to work, that that effort would be hindered, it would be held back, it wouldn't run as well. And so it is in church. You may think that the way that you've been gifted isn't that exciting. It may feel a bit janitorial, so to speak. And yet we're to use our gift, just like the janitor did his job. Not least because we are involved in something much more significant than putting a man on the moon. We're involved in building the kingdom of God. And so we're not to despise the gifts that God has given us, no matter what we think of them. Well, of course, sometimes it's not that we look down on our own gifts, but that others look down on them. And that's something that can be even more destructive. It's an attitude that Paul addressed when he wrote to the church in Corinth, and he was using the same body metaphor when he wrote these words. He said, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour." Paul says the janitors of the church, so to speak, are not to be despised, but to be treated with special honour. That means that Chloe, who works so hard in putting our rotor together, is worthy of special honour. Anil and Jana, who can often be seen scooping up the tea towels at the end of Sunday to take them home to wash, are worthy of special honour. Stephanie, who's been working really hard behind the scenes so that we can make referrals to the Wandsworth Food Bank, is worthy of special honour. You see, we're all needed in Christ's body, the church. We're all gifted. We're all needed. And then finally, we're to give our all to serving. We see this in the four ways in which Paul says four of the different gifts are to be exercised. So at the end of verse 6, we see that those gifted with prophesying are to prophesy in accordance with their faith. And then in verse 8, we see that those gifted with giving are to do so generously. Those gifted to lead are to do so diligently. And those gifted in showing mercy are to do so cheerfully. And one writer, he summarises this by saying Paul is calling the Roman church, calling us to use our gifts with excellence and passion. Excellence and passion. And as I've reflected on these verses this week, I'm not quite sure that's right. Now, don't get me wrong, I think it's really good to do things well. That is something that's pleasing to God. But I don't think excellence is what Paul is driving at here. I think he's far more concerned about our hearts. So let's see how that might work. Let's start with the first of those, prophecy. And as I do that, I know that many different Christians have many different understandings of exactly what prophecy is. And, well, at this point in the sermon, that's a conversation for another day. But so as we can get to what Paul might be saying here, let me give you my understanding of prophecy. I understand prophecy to be the ability to connect what the Bible is saying with the particular specifics of everyday life. We might call it the gift of applying the Bible. And that's a gift that could puff someone up. And so Paul says it's to be exercised in accordance with faith. In other words, it's to be used humbly, recognising it's a gift from God. Or take the next gift, take giving. Now, that's an easier one to understand. And Paul says if that's a gift that we've been given, we should exercise it generously. That is not begrudgingly, because, well, that's hardly giving in view of God's mercy. And not meagerly, because, well, that's not going to serve the church. Rather, we're to give generously. What about leading? Paul says leading should be done diligently. not in the self-serving way that means you just enjoy all the perks of leadership if you've been gifted with that responsibility, but rather diligently, Paul says, purposefully, for the good of the body. And then there's the last one, showing mercy. If your gift is showing mercy, Paul says, do it cheerfully. Now, showing mercy can be a hard task that we have to do in troubling situations. But if we've been given the gift of a heart for those who need mercy, and if we've been given an opportunity to make a difference, we're to do it cheerfully. Because actually, it's a gift that is a real blessing to others. It makes a real difference in their lives. It's something to rejoice and celebrate. Putting them all together, Paul says we're to give serving our all. We're to do it humbly, generously, diligently and cheerfully. You see, whoever we are, we're all needed. Whatever we have, we're all gifted. And so we're to give our all to serving. As we come to a close, here are two quick and practical questions we might want to ask. Here's the first. How do we identify our gifts? Let me give you some suggestions. If you want to identify your gift, it's always good to do some self-examination. To use the language of verse 3, to look at yourself with sober judgment. Ask questions like this. What do I find enjoyable or fulfilling? What am I able to do? What captures my attention, whether it's an opportunity or whether it's a problem? What sort of people am I drawn to? As you examine yourself by asking those sorts of questions, you may well uncover some of your gifts. Now, of course, you may not be able to answer those questions if you haven't tried some things out. You won't know if you have the gift of hospitality until you've invited people into your life and your home. You won't know if you're gifted at teaching children until you've opened the Bible up with them a few times. You won't know if you're an encourager until you've spoken to someone to spur them on to keep following Christ. And so it's good to give things a go, to try, to see if that's the way that God has gifted you. And of course, it's also good to seek the wisdom of others, because they often spot things that you don't see. And so you might want to ask questions like, well, how do you see me serving God and the church? Or maybe, are there areas of service you think I should explore? And indeed, helping one another discern our gifts is what we're going to be doing in our home groups this week. So don't miss out on that. There you go, some thoughts about how we can identify our gifts. And then the second practical question is this. Should we only serve in what we're gifted for? Should we only serve in what we're gifted for? And here's my short answer. My short answer is no. Well, let me give you the longer version. I say no because of Galatians 6, verse 10. It's coming up on the screen, but let me read it for us. Paul says to the Galatian church, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Can you see what Paul is saying here? He's saying sometimes the gift God gives us is opportunity. Let me give you an example of that. The church I went to as a student had lots of people in it who worked in the city. There were plenty of accountants and lawyers and bankers and the like. And so when a notice appeared in the notice sheet asking for help with their gift aid claims, it was something that I just ignored because, well, there were people who were much better qualified to do that job than I was, and so they didn't need me to do it. But the notice kept appearing in the notice sheet. It didn't disappear. And then they started talking about it from the front, and it kept getting spoken of, and it became clear that they really needed someone, and that no one was coming forward. And so one Sunday I went to find their treasurer at that church and said, well, listen, I've got no real experience in dealing with church finances, but I'm doing a science degree, so Excel doesn't frighten me, and I've got some time because I'm a student. And he said, yes, please, come and help. And I became the church's gift aid officer. You see, the God-given gift of opportunity that I had meant I could do good to the family of believers. Even if there were many others who were, in many ways, better gifted than I was in terms of ability, I had the gift of opportunity and so was able to serve. You see, we're all gifted and we're all needed and we're to give our all to serving. Each one of you is a God-given gift to our church, because each one of us has a unique contribution to make to our lives together. And I don't know about you, but that is something I find incredibly exciting. And so as we come to a close, let me pray that we would use the gift that God has given us for the benefit of others, and that we do so humbly, generously, diligently and cheerfully, all in view of God's mercy. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the gift you have given us. Thank you chiefly for the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not come to be served, but to serve. And that he did that by giving his life as a ransom for many, to secure our salvation when we deserve judgment. Thank you for your mercy shown to us through him. And we pray, please, that you would help us live lives in view of that mercy. Please help us, in particular, to use the gifts that you have given us for the building up of the body, the church. And help us to see that we're all needed. However you've gifted us, it's a gift that you have given for the blessing of others. And so please help us to use those gifts. And as we do that, help us to be humble, recognising they're from you, generous, recognising they're for the benefit of others, diligent, doing things properly, and cheerfully knowing that you are working through us to bless others. Do this among us, we pray, for our good as a church family and for your glory as you build your church. In Jesus' name. Amen.